The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The word of the year for a particular organization, I'll have to go back and get the exact one. The word of the year is brain rot, which is actually a hyphenated word. And I would have thought brain rot maybe defined as kind of mindless activity, or maybe poisoning your brain with something that isn't healthy, maybe what you read, what you see, what you listen to, something along those lines. Compare it to teeth rot or tooth rot when you eat too much candy. Well, as it turns out, I wasn't far off, but I didn't know this particular definition. So it's the Oxford Word of the Year. In 2024, brain rot, oh my gosh, this is so appropriate for this time in our society. Brain rot is used to describe both the cause and effect of the low quality, low value content found on social media. Brain rot is how the effects of social media, the impacts of social media are described. They're captured in this term, brain rot. And if you follow any of the most recent studies, it's not just about what social media and scrolling, nonstop scrolling, can do to young people, but also what it can do to people of all ages who get stuck. Have you ever found yourself just scrolling? It's mindless. A lot of times you can get sucked into it, which is really the algorithm, whether it's TikTok or Insta or Facebook or Twix, whatever it is, you can get sucked into it. I can get sucked into it just scrolling. And that's the whole idea behind the algorithms that build content based on your previous views. So for instance, and this is a little scary, but this is how it works. I went online on Tuesday afternoon because I had an eye appointment, just a standard run-of-the-mill annual eye exam. But I need new glasses because I haven't had any new ones for 15 years. And while my prescription hasn't changed that much, it's changed enough that I need to get new ones. So I looked online. I tried on a few pairs of glasses in the office, but I had to get out of there because I had some phone calls and some appointments. So I couldn't really stick around to buy a pair. Plus, they're like three times as much if you buy them at the actual eye doctor's office. So I get online later in the evening to scroll through some different pairs of glasses on 1-800 contacts. Within minutes, I open up another search window, now starting to do some work and open my email. But the browser window that I open up for a new browser or a new tab, I should say, it's covered with ads for glasses. That's how quickly it happens, within minutes. Now think of that when you go to any one of these social media sites and you have a history that these sites are tracking. They put together algorithms, YouTube, any of them. They put together videos and posts that they believe you will be attracted to. Why? So that they can keep you scrolling. So that they can keep you sucked in. So that they can keep you tumbling down the rabbit hole. Brain rot. I mean, that's not good. Give me one context where rotting is a great result, or rotting is what you want. Rotting is kind of gross, actually. If you really look into it, depending upon what fruit or maybe any type of a live organism, a plant, root rot is something that I deal with sometimes with plants. When you put them into pots and you overwater them, the roots can get rotted because they're saturated. Now think about that and apply it to brain rot. Our brains are saturated with social media garbage, the cesspool that is social media, to the point where it's rotting our brains. Oh my gosh. There's nothing positive about that. Which is why I actually use social media less and less. I know we talk about it a lot on the air because it's the one consistent way that we can connect with each other. I don't expect you all to call me every night. And so this is an opportunity for us to stay connected and for you to reply to me as I am talking to you. It's an interesting communication. It's an interesting strategy for relationship, but in this particular case, it's fairly effective. But I have found that since I got more and more immersed in the social media for after hours, I've done less and less of my own personal social media. And I get people that tell me all the time, Producer Pete, that we should have a TikTok, we should have an Insta, we should have other social media sites. But, and I know we don't really have a website anymore. I don't even know if the network has a website. I just know that we had a website and then it was defunct. And then we were supposed to move to a new website, but that website never really turned into anything. It never really materialized into a replacement for the previous website. And all the different migrations just kind of rendered our website defunct. So do we even have a website?
I believe we do, yes.
What's the address? See, you don't know it either. That's the whole point, is no one's using it. I'm quite certain that no one is using it. It's not popping up in anyone's algorithms.
InfinitySportsNet.com.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. Infinity Sportsnet. Do we spell it with an I or a Y? Infinity Sports. Net.com. Oh, so it's not really anything. It's just the host site for where you can listen live. So there's not a whole lot there. It gives the list of shows that's online, right? And it's got some fun little designs. But essentially, when you click on the name of a particular show, it's the podcast. There's no write-ups there. There's no information. There's no kind of interactive, hey, you can get to know your people. Got it. So it's not a website as in, here's how you can contact us, or here's what you want to know about your favorite host. It's just essentially where the podcasts are collected. Got it.
It's a hub.
It's a podcast hub, if you will. All right. But it's also the spot where you can listen live. So Infinity Sports Network, it redirects you to the Odyssey homepage for the network. Got it. Okay, so website, we have nothing to do with really, because we host our podcast on a different site and then it kind of goes there.
That's right.
We use a different host and server and it ends up there. But personally, we have our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our YouTube channel with a couple new videos, actually, going back to Halloween. We now have two new videos. We're going to do yet another before we get to the end of this year. So probably a Christmas video of some sort. And here's what we found out. For those of you who are faithful and even checked us out on Twitch last week, the would you call him the tech guru who works for the network? Would we call Andrew the tech guru?
He works in digital.
Okay, he's the digital guru.
Digital guru.
The digital and tech guru who navigates and manages a lot of the live broadcasts for the different shows, not ours, but the different video elements. And he helped us put a segment live on Twitch for the first time. And then we packaged it, and it's on YouTube if you missed it. It does, in fact, feature me talking with my hands because I cannot do otherwise. I cannot talk without moving my hands. Anyway, he and I crossed paths in the hallway on Tuesday morning, and he said, or was it Monday morning? Monday morning, and he said, we got surprisingly good numbers. He was genuinely surprised. And it takes a lot to surprise our digital and tech guru. Surprisingly good numbers for the hour in which we were doing the live broadcast, which was 5:40 a.m. Eastern, 2:40 a.m. Pacific. Not because people don't listen, but because at that hour, a lot of people are getting ready for work. They're just waking up. Or if you're thinking about West Coast, well, people going to bed or they're working an overnight job. So it's a wonky hour to try to get live on Twitch. And yet he said there were surprisingly good numbers. And when I suggested we needed to do it again, oh, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yes. So we will be doing it again at least one more time before the end of the year live on Twitch. But thanks so much for finding us there. That's not really our social media site, but we kind of jumped on it. We jumped on it like hopped on pop. So we have the two Twix accounts, mine and the show's, the one Facebook page and the YouTube channel. And then we do have our podcast, which is collected on the Infinity Sports Network site. All right. That's plenty of social media for me.
That's right.
I have my own blog. So my blog is something that I do personally. When I want to share stuff with you that has nothing to do with work or sports, that's all I can manage. I hope that you don't get brain rot from navigating our social media. Pete, do you think we give people brain rot?
No, I think we give them very informative opinion.
Do you think we entertain?
We entertain.
We entertain.
Yes.
You do not come away from our show feeling dumber. Now, if I tell you that Major League Baseball wants to add the golden at-bat rule, and I explain to you what it is, you might feel dumber, or at the very least, you think Rob Manfred is dumber than you already did. People are really up in arms over this, and I do not blame them, but that also includes baseball players themselves. I've actually seen some really funny posts from current and former baseball players about this cockamamie idea. No one says cockamamie, but I just did. Here are a few from Roger Clemens, which actually cracks me up. Now, you know Roger Clemens' history, but he's still one of the best strikeout pitchers that baseball has ever seen. He didn't get into the Hall of Fame, but not. It's not because he isn't worthy. It's because of the Baseball Writers Association aversion to voting anyone in who's got ties, major ties to steroids and PEDs. First, Roger Clemens posts, "This can't be real." That's his response to this idea of the golden at bat. Now, if you don't know what this means, I'll briefly explain it, but I warn you, this is brain rot. A team could choose one at bat every game in which they can sub in their best hitter regardless of where they are in the lineup or whether or not that guy just batted. Okay, so that's the idea. And Rob Manfred says there's, quote, buzz around adding this rule. I think he's manufacturing the buzz. I don't think this is real. This is buzz from drinking too much tequila too fast. So Roger Clemens goes on to say, hypothetical, you can have bases loaded, no outs, and Ohtani is up. Again, this is Roger Clemens, who would have relished a one-on-one battle with Shohei Ohtani. Hypothetical, you strike him out, then they, meaning your opponent, can just use this rule to let him stay up and I have to face him again? That's the idea. But in order to make it work so it's not ridiculous, I mean, as ridiculous, it's not so ridiculous, it's just ridiculous, you'd have to have some stipulations and rules around it. Regardless, it's asinine. Completely asinine. And I haven't seen one person other than Marco Belletti who tried to argue that this would be good for baseball by bringing in fans who are only flocking to the sport because of this, because of how this rule would mix things up. Then I saw Jonathan Papelbon, longtime closer in Major League Baseball, tweet, he's never watching baseball again if they institute the rule. It really is ridiculous. But I wonder whether or not that's exactly what Rob Manfred wants, which means he's buying votes, essentially. He's selling the soul of baseball for the bottom line. Because if you need to resort to gimmicks that significantly change the nature of the game that you are running, that means you're selling the soul of baseball. And I warn Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball by using the NASCAR example. Now, for many of you, I know you're NASCAR fans. It's not just a sport in the South. There are tracks in the northern half of the country, and it used to be the number two spectator sport in the nation, behind the NFL. Based on TV ratings and attendance at tracks, it used to be wildly popular. Now, there are specific races and weekends that people are really into, but the numbers and the interest isn't there nationwide. And I truly believe it's for a few reasons. Now, some of these reasons NASCAR can't help. Number one, they've lost so many of their popular, high-profile drivers, either to retirement. In the case of Dale Earnhardt Jr., he had too many concussions and he became worried about driving. His father, of course, passed away on the track at Daytona going back to 2001. And to me, that kind of started the decline. But what really hastened it is the way that NASCAR started tinkering with all of its rules to the point where it became really complicated to follow the sport. Instituting the playoffs was one thing, but then how do you make the playoffs? And every year it seemed like the formula has changed for how you make the playoffs, where your average fan can't and really won't do a deep dive to understand how drivers and their teams make the playoffs. And then it became stage racing and the car of tomorrow and all of these changes that average fans just can't and won't absorb. They kind of give up because it's too much work. Well, that's what's, I think, the slippery slope that baseball is facing. You've already done gimmicky, weird things like putting a runner on second base in extra innings. Why? Because the best players in the world can't possibly score runs in extras unless you put a runner in scoring position for them. That's ridiculous. But it's all been done to make the game faster. It's all been done because Rob Manfred is willing to die on the hill of pace of play. That's been his entire tenure, is how do we speed up the game? And granted, I'll give him this. The ways that they have instituted pitch clock and the ways that they've managed to speed up the game by shortening the time in between innings and also shortening the delays, it's been very well received. But this, what is the point? For no other reason than to create yet another gimmick that would bring new people and their, I would say, kind of morbid curiosity to the game. If they weren't fans already, this is going to bring them to the game? To me, that makes no sense. it might be a novelty initially that people tune in to see what the heck. But if they don't love the game of baseball, this isn't going to keep them around. So I'm glad that a lot of current and former players are weighing in and pointing out how ludicrous it is. And it's maybe just a gimmick, using a gimmick. Maybe this is how Rob Manfred keeps baseball relevant in the offseason. Because, you know, Blake Snell signing a contract, or Juan Soto about to announce his destination in free agency, those aren't enough, I guess. It's kind of sad that Major League Baseball feels like it has to either put these feelers out there to gauge reaction or go to such drastic lengths to keep baseball relevant. We're just getting started. It's the Hump Show. As you can tell, I'm fired up. My entire goal on this edition of the show is to run counter to what is a popular phenomenon happening in our country, brain rot. We want to do the opposite. We want to make you smarter. We want to keep you engaged and entertained here on After Hours. Are you not entertained? At A-Law Radio, if you haven't yet voted for TD of the Week, you'll hear those candidates coming up next. Also on our Facebook page, you can see the poll there too. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. What's the longest you've ever sat and scrolled through your phone and then you woke up an hour later and thought, what the hell did I just do for the last hour? That's the thing. That's how the rot happens, Pete. You just scroll mindlessly and you don't even really retain what you're reading. You're just looking at reels and videos and you're tumbling further and further down the hole. That's, you know, brain rot.
For me, when I scroll and I don't retain, I'll remember something from that scrolling period later on in the day for some reason. It'll pop up in my head, but that's it.
Sometimes I think, because there are times when I'm tired, and rather than just getting ready for bed in the morning, I'll be mindlessly scrolling on my phone again, not really retaining, not really looking for anything specific, just scrolling because it's easy, and it almost feels like it's a way to unwind, which it really isn't, because the phone is designed to do the opposite of help you unwind and relax. And then it'll be 8 minutes, 10 minutes. I haven't moved. I could have been in bed 10 minutes ago, and I'm still standing at the kitchen counter. Or, I mean, sometimes I go in to brush my teeth and I pick up my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? You're trying to wind down, not gear up. Brain rot. It's the Oxford word of the year. Where have you experienced brain rot in your own life? Again, at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up later in the show. It's the middle show of the work week. Oh my gosh. It's December 3rd, heading into December 4th. I can't believe that exactly 3 weeks from right now, Christmas Eve. What?
I'm nowhere near ready for it.
Yeah, are we ever? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Minnesota Vikings.
Second and two from the Cardinals 5. Takes the snap. Four-man rush. Sam to the right. Caught. And touchdown! He's showtime! And Aaron Jones saved his best for last. We're tied at 22.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Third down and 7 from the Seattle 9. Hall stays in the backfield. Again, 3 receivers near side. Adams is slotted on the right. Blitz is coming. Throw inside. It's picked off. Leo Williams coming near side. He's running like a racehorse. He's at midfield. Turns upfield and blockers. Holy smokes, are you kidding? Leo Williams is going to take it in for a touchdown. Seahawks. The Seahawks mess up a kick return. They dump it on the defense. And Leo Williams says, I got you covered. Picks it off as he drops back into coverage. Comes up the near sidelines in front of the bench. Picks up blockers and takes it all the way in for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? 21-13, and Williams is going to do it any way he can to help his team win.
The Buffalo Bills.
First and a goal from the 7. Allen under center. Takes the snap. Quick hitter. Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable. A catch by Amari Cooper, a lateral to Josh Allen, and he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score. Have you ever seen that one before?
The Denver Broncos.
Knicks, with a pair of receivers on each side, takes a shotgun snap, drops 3 yards into the end zone, loads it up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Mims there. Mims is gone. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, high stepping into the south end zone. 93 yards.
Man, we had so many great candidates for TD of the week, week 13, which actually didn't include what happened on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday, simply because it felt like a long time ago. So we're going with the games from Sunday, Monday, and that was plenty. The After Hours TD of the week is what? You can find the poll at Amy After Hours and our Facebook page, and also weigh in with their questions for Ask Amy Anything, since it is the hump show. Steve Rabel on the Vikings. Oh, not Vikings. Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. Chris Brown on the Bills radio network. And finally, Dave Logan on Broncos radio from Monday night. We may end up with a sweep. A sweep in snowy Buffalo. We shall see. That poll goes on for another hour. 855-212-4227. Just saw this tweet from Torben. Thanks for your golden net bat rant. Completely absurd. And in addition to absurd, I kind of feel like it's borderline offensive to those of us who are baseball fans and players. And I feel much better now knowing that the reaction from players themselves is similar to what we're hearing from fans around the country. Telling you, you mess around and you border. Well, not only are you being borderline offensive, I think, to people who are intelligent baseball fans and love the game if you change the game, but also you add these ridiculous rules and you're not really selling the game of baseball to a new audience if that's what your goal is. You're selling a joke. You're selling something completely different. It's like a cartoon version of baseball. Jeff is listening in Dallas. Jeff, welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Well, Amy Lawrence, if sports don't change, they disappear. So I agree. The golden at-bat sounds like a pretty ridiculous idea, especially if you're going to compare stats. Like, baseball is a stats game, right? Like, you got to compare against eras and whatever else. But don't pretend that, like, the steroid era in and of itself was a gimmick. Like, Brady Alexander hit 50 home runs one year. Like, where did that come from? Like, nobody knew this was going on. Everybody knew it was going on. The home run chase was a gimmick. That's what brought baseball back to the forefront. So, you know, in 1978, one of the biggest sports in America was PBA bowling. When was the last time you watched that on TV? Like, I understand where you're coming from, but you can't be a purist, right? Like,
wait, I need to be a purist to ask that they stick with the lineup that's presented? If you want to make a substitution, make a substitution. It shouldn't be like a mulligan in golf. Oh, shoot, we need a do-over. Or, oh, shoot, we can send our best player up to bat like you're in some kind of a scramble or something.
My point is, if you love baseball, you want to keep watching baseball, right? Baseball was number one. It's not number one anymore. It's number three. So my point is, if you love baseball, you want to see baseball continue. So you can't be such a purist that you're not willing to accept change. I already said, I think it's a little beyond the scope of what I would like to see, but I want to keep watching baseball.
But so you won't keep watching baseball unless they continue to add gimmicks?
I will, but our young people? No. Like, the ratings keep dropping.
I mean, that's the case for every type of program on TV except for football, Jeff. That really is the plight of every sport, and it's not just because people don't care. It's because of the streaming and the fewer people who actually have cable TV. You may or may not know this, but even Adam Silver admits no one is watching NBA regular season games. That's why they've worked in this weird NBA Cup, in large part to try to see if they can attract viewers based on this kind of, hey, low risk, don't need to invest a whole lot type of a tournament in the middle of the season with the crazy courts and all that jazz, and a tournament in Vegas. This is how sports are trying to navigate and bring in new people. But to change the rules of the game, it, I think it's a little bit different. But yeah, every sport is dealing with that, where fans are leaving in droves.
The NFL is number one. They changed the rules of the game. Have you seen the kickoffs this year? That's because...
No, sir. I don't actually watch football. I talk about it, but I don't watch it.
Well, my point is, you do watch it. I'm not being stupid. My point is, they've changed the kickoff rule very substantially. And it's because of player safety, because the NFL knows player safety is their ultimate downfall, right? Like, if they're going to get sued over concussions, that could lead to their downfall. So they've made a change. If baseball understands that they're falling behind, and holy cow, if Shohei Ohtani is coming up for a golden at bat and everybody's going to tune in on YouTube and on their phones for that one instant, like, all I'm saying is I love baseball. But if baseball dies out like the PBA did, we're not going to be watching baseball.
Well, the PBA is still around. Just because you're not watching it doesn't mean it isn't there. But to your point, Jeff, wait, Jeff, hold on. Jeff, to your point, not every roster has a Shohei Ohtani. There, for the vast majority of these teams, it's not going to be some kind of major national or international buzz to have a dude get back in the lineup two at-bats after he struck out, right? You maybe have an Aaron Judge, a Shohei Ohtani. You have a couple of guys that moves the needles for. But to change...
You don't think the first time somebody hits a Grand Slam home run with a golden at-bat, it's not going to be huge news?
It may be news after the fact, but if people don't see it when it's happening, no. I don't think it's going to be huge news. Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, that's one thing. You've a handful of players where this would be something that would actually bring people to the game. Otherwise, it's a novelty that wears off, because most games or most teams operate in a regional basis. So you're not increasing your national presence or your international presence by adding this rule. I'm sorry, we're running late. I have to let you go, but I appreciate it. As for the NFL and its concussion lawsuit, it not only has gone through that process already, but has lost in a way that the NFL is on the hook for billions of dollars as a settlement, and it hasn't affected the league one bit. And I would argue, too, that by adding a golden at bat rule in Major League Baseball, it's a much greater impact than what they've done with kickoffs. Yes, it looks different, but it's not quarterbacks wearing bubble wrap. Okay, so I'm just throwing something out in football. Like, this would be your gimmick where, hey, our quarterbacks are wrapped up in bubble wrap. So now, even when you hit them, they fall on the ground, they pop right back up. I mean, that would be something ludicrous along the lines of this golden at bat rule. Or quarterbacks wearing red jerseys and you can never touch them. Something along those lines. Or flag football, where it's not even tackle anymore. As much as people would tell you it's not the same violent sport that it used to be, we know that it still is tackle football and contact sport. So if you change the game that much, but in the kickoffs, I mean, it's weird a little bit, but people are figuring it out more. And I think the fact that you get some kickoff returns for touchdowns and you're still getting that element of the game now and then, it's not as significant as allowing a cleanup hitter to sub back into the lineup two at bats after he was just out there. So I would say that's a little bit different. But yeah, the NFL survives pretty much anything. It's like cockroaches. It will survive absolutely anything you throw at it for a lot of reasons, not all of which we can even enumerate. But NFL is the cash cow. It's the sport that, you know, the league that every other sport wants to be when it grows up type of thing. So the NFL is the exception, not the rule. At A-Law Radio, love to hear from you. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also, vote for TD of the Week. Coming up, Azeez Alshire of the Houston Texans ends up with a 3-game suspension and a harsh admonition from the league, a harsh warning from the NFL. But Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Texans, is fighting back, if you will. We'll get to that straight ahead. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Oregon remains on top. Newest college football rankings followed by Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Ohio State fell to number 8 after their stunning loss to Michigan. However, the big news comes at the bottom of the standings. Alabama now in at 11, just ahead of Miami and Ole Miss. Despite 3 losses, Crimson Tide would currently be in the college football playoff and likely to remain there unless Clemson could pull that upset of SMU in the ACC championship. Elsewhere, Michigan fired off its coordinator Kirk Campbell after just 1 season as their signal caller. NFL Texans linebacker Azeez Alshire suspended 3 games for his hit on Trevor Lawrence. NBA Cup, Knicks getting contributions up and down the lineup as they look to take Group A.
Brunson navigates into the lane, got fouled, fall away, jumper is good. It's the 3rd and 1 in the first 4 minutes of that quarter for the Knicks, and Brunson flexes his muscles and has another free throw coming.
Jalen Brunson finished with 21, every starter with at least 11, that included a triple-double from Josh Hart. Knicks roll the Magic 121-106 to take Group A. Orlando also advancing as well. Call courtesy of the Knicks Radio Network. Elsewhere, the Mavericks rallied by the Grizzlies 121-116 thanks to 37 points and 12 rebounds from Luka Doncic. They advance. Thunder drubbed the Jazz 133-106. They win Group B in the West. 28 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Bucks rip the Pistons 128-107. They take Group B in the East. Also knock the Pistons out. Cavs dominate the Wizards 118-87. Nuggets outlast the Mavericks 119-115. Nikola Jokic 38 points, 10 boards. Sixers raise the Hornets 110-104. Paul George at 29. Suns handle the Spurs 104-93, but they lost Kevin Durant to a sprained ankle in the second quarter. He did not return. Clippers drop the Blazers 127-105. Raptors too much for the Pacers 122-111. Scotty Barnes with 35. And the Kings erase the Rockets 120-111. College hoops, Clemson stunned Kentucky 70-66. Tennessee rocks Syracuse 96-70. Michigan upset Wisconsin 67-64, while Villanova shocked Cincinnati 68-60. And baseball, Red Sox agreeing to a 1-year deal, $10.75 million, with reliever Roldis Chapman. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Check out our new and improved website at InfinitySportsNet.com. That's InfinitySportsNet.com.
Unfortunately, hit on the quarterback, but it's also, it's twofold, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender, a lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy is thinking. You don't know if a guy is standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Texans head coach D'Amico Ryan standing up for his linebacker and captain, Azeez Alshire, who has been suspended 3 games by the NFL for the egregious hit against Trevor Lawrence on Sunday in their game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls here momentarily. The NFL did not agree with the assessment of an unfortunate hit. That was not the way the NFL would term this particular moment. And to that end, Al Shire receives not just the 3-game suspension, but a strongly worded note, a strongly worded public note from the NFL that serves to admonish him for the hit that the league deemed unacceptable. And get this, his continued disregard. That's the phrase that's in the letter, meaning they see him as a repeat offender. And we know this about the NFL. When you run afoul of their laws more than once, when you run afoul of the rules and you have the disregard for the rules, that embarrasses the league. They don't like it, and they crack down harder on repeat offenders. So this is John Runyon, who's the NFL's VP of Policy and Rules Administration. And he wrote the letter to Al Shire that his continued disregard for rules governing player safety will not be tolerated. I'm going to read you this segment of it, or this portion of it, because it's, I'm telling you, it's strong words. You were involved in a play that the NFL considers unacceptable and a serious violation of the playing rules. Video shows you striking the head neck area of Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence after he clearly goes down in a feet first slide. You led with your forearm and helmet and delivered a forceful blow to the head neck area of your opponent when you had time and space to avoid such contact. In theory, I agree with what D'Amico Ryans is saying. I do not believe that his plea that quarterbacks need to follow the rules more carefully and not use it to gain one more half yard, use it to their advantage when they've got the onus because they know when they're dropping, that doesn't apply here. Trevor Lawrence clearly slid feet first. Not just that, but he's not 5'2". The dude's like 6 foot plus. You can see that he's going down and he's sliding the entire length of his body before Al Shire comes in with the forearm shiver. Nick Caserio is the general manager of the Texans. He, too, defending his linebacker.
The most important thing is just the health and well-being of Trevor. You know, fortunately, he's going to be okay. So it's an unfortunate playing situation. What we take umbrage is just the picture that's been painted about Aziz, his intentions, who he is as a person. I mean, it, quite frankly, and it's unfair to the individual. It's unfair to the organization. I mean, we love everything about Aziz Al-Shire, what he means to this team, what he brings to this team. He was elected a captain after being here for 4 months. So, again, like, we have a lot of respect for our opponents. We have a lot of respect for other teams in this league. We want to do things the right way. I think D'Amico's explanation about the situation from a defensive perspective yesterday, well, quite frankly, was spot on. You know, it's a tough situation. Going back to the first thing I said, the most important thing is the health and safety of our players. And I'd say the health and well-being of Trevor. And, you know, hopefully Trevor's going to be okay. But to speak on Aziz's intentionality about what he intended to do, some of the comments that have been made, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. So, like, we're going to support Aziz. We love everything about him. We're glad he's a part of this team.
I would expect that Nick Caserio would defend his player. And I think D'Amico Ryans, while not specifically saying that this hit should qualify as one in which the quarterback bears responsibility, he was defending his guy, too. He also went so far as to say it was the Jaguars' fault that the melees broke out, not once but twice. That's also not something the NFL agrees with. There's more. How about this? Your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football and all those who play, coach, and enjoy watching it is troubling and does not reflect the core values of the NFL. Your continued disregard for NFL playing rules puts the health and safety of both you and your opponents in jeopardy and will not be tolerated. So yeah, he also points to the various moves where he said it was Al Shire who was instigating. Initially, the hit is what drew the ire of Jaguars players, but he said, this is Runyon in his letter to Al Shire, you proceeded to engage in a brawl, which you escalated when you pulled an opponent down to the ground by his face mask. He also says you re-engaged with your opponent, walking down and across the field, which started another physical confrontation near the end zone. So whatever D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and the Texans locker room were seeing, and I don't know that all of them were on the side of Azeez, that's not the same lens through which the NFL or the Jaguars view this hit. He has been dealt with. He has been suspended in a manner that indicates they're not messing around. Now, he is appealing, according to multiple sources, and it will be heard by an appeals officer that gets appointed by both the league and the players' union. So there's that. It is expected to be someone completely different. But if he doesn't get his suspension reduced, he can't return until Houston's regular season finale. That's a big deal for the Texans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.